This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Volume 4, Saying Number 10, A Case of Measles.
"You've been looking like you were rather under the weather for the past week or two, Uncle Remus," said a gentleman to the old man.
"You'd be sort of puny two balls if you'd have been where I've been."
"Where have you been?"
"'Pear to me like everybody done ye about that. There ain't no old nigger my age and size that's had no rattlin' her time than I is."
"A kind of picnic?"
"Go long, boss. What you spec I'd be doin' sailin' round in these here colored picnics? Much more'n I wouldn't make bread by workin' for it, let alone followin' up a passel of boys and gals all over curation.
Boss, ain't you hear about it sure enough?"
"I haven't, really. What was the matter?" "I got strucken with sickness, and she hit this old nigger a Joe daughter for sure before she turned him loose."
"What kind of sickness?"
"It looked sort of curious, boss, but old and steady as I is, I took and caught the measles."
"Oh, get out. You're trying to get up a sensation."
"It's a natural fact, boss. I declare to gracious if tain't. It sort of come on with a cold, like. Well, leastways, that's how I commenced for the suffer. And then a cough got straddled cold. One of these here coughs, what looks like it goes to the foundation. I kept on lingering round, sort of keeping one eye on the rheumatiz and the other on the distemper, till by and by I begin for the field to trestle work give way. And then I just knowed that I was going to get a racket. I slipped into bed one Tuesday night, and I never slipped out no more for mighty nigh on a month. Next morning, the measles done covered me, and then if I didn't get dosted by the old woman like a Chinee, she give me back rations of sassafras tea. I just naturally hankered and got hungry after water. Every time I sing out for water, I got boiling hot sassafras tea. It got so that when I wake up in the morning, the old woman just come along with a kettle of tea and fill me up. They tells me round town that chillens don't get hurted with the measles, which if they don't, I want to be a baby the next time they hits this place. All this year measles business is brand new to me. In old times, for the war, I ain't here telling no 75-year-old nigger grappling with no measles. They ain't catching no more, is they, boss?"
"Oh, no, I suppose not."
"'Cause if they is, you can just put my name down with the migration niggers."
End of the saying. Saying number 11, The Immigrants. When Uncle Remus went down to the passenger depot one morning recently, the first sight that caught his eye was an old Negro man, a woman, and two children sitting in the shade near the door of the baggage room. One of the children was very young, and the quartet was altogether ragged and forlorn-looking. The sympathies of Uncle Remus were immediately aroused. He approached the group by forced marches, and finally unburdened his curiosity.
"Where's you wandering on, dear pard?"
The old Negro, who seemed to be rather suspicious, looked at Uncle Remus coolly, and appeared to be considering whether he should make any reply. Finally, however, he stretched himself and said,
"We are going down to the neighborhood of Tallapoosie, and we ain't making no fuss about it, neither."
"I disremember," said Uncle Remus thoughtfully, "where Tallapoosie is."
"Oh, it's out there, yonder,"
replied the old man, motioning his head as if it were just beyond the iron gates of the depot.
"It's down in Alabama. When we get there, maybe we'll go on till we gets to Mississippi."
"Is you got any folks out there?" inquired Uncle Remus.
"None that I knows of."
"And you were taking this woman and these chillen out there where they don't know nobody? Where's your provisions?"
eyeing a chest with a rope around it.
"Them's our bedclothes,"
the old Negro explained, noticing the glance of Uncle Remus.
All the vittles what we got, we et before we started.
And you expect for to reach there safe and sound? Where's your ticket?
Ain't got none. The man says how they'd pass us through. I'd give a man a $5 bill before I left Jonesboro, and he said that settled it.
Let me tell you this, said Uncle Remus, straightening up indignantly. You go and rob somebody and get on the chain gang and let the woman scratch round and make out her living. But don't you get on them cars. Don't you do it. Your best hope is the chain gang. You can make your living there when you can't make it nowheres else. But don't you get on them cars. If you do, you are gone, nigga. If you ain't got no money for to walk back with, you just better build your nest right here. I'm a-talkin' with the bark on. I done seen these here Arkansas emigrants come lopin' back, and some of them don't have rags enough on them for to hide their nakedness. You leave that box right where she is, and let the woman take one young one, and you take the other one, and then you get in the middle of the big road and pull out for the place where you come from. I'm a-preachin' now.
Those who watched say the quartet didn't take the cars. End of the saying. Saying number 12, as a murderer. Uncle Remus met a police officer recently.
You ain't here talking no dead nigger nowhere this morning, is you, boss?
Asked the old man earnestly.
No, replied the policeman reflectively. No, I believe not. Have you heard of any?
Pears unto me that I come mighty nigh getting some news about that size. That's what I'm a-huntin' fur. Because if they have found a stray nigger layin' round loose with his breath gone, and I want to go home and get my breakfast and put on some clean clothes and deliver myself up to one of these here justices of the peace and get a fair trial.
Why, have you killed anybody?
That's what I'm acquiring into now. But I wouldn't be as astonished if I ain't laid a nigger out somewheres on the suburbs. It's done got so it's agin the law for to bust loose and kill a nigger, ain't it, boss?
Well, I should say so. You don't mean to tell me that you have killed a colored man, do you?
I spec I is, boss. I spec I done gone and done it this time, sure. It's been sort of growing on me, and it come to a head this morning, unless my name ain't Remus, and that's what they've been a-calling me since I was old enough for to scratch myself with my left hand.
Well, if you've killed a man, you'll have some fun, sure enough. How was it?
It was this way, boss. I was laying in my bed this morning, sort of ruminating round, when the first news I knowed, I hear a fuss among the chickens, and then my bristles rears. I done had lots of trouble with them chickens, and when I hears one of them squall, my very shoes come untied. So I sort of riz up and retch for my old musket, and then I crope out at the back door, and what do you reckon I seed?
I couldn't say.
I seed the biggest, blackest nigger that you ever laid eyes on. He shined like the paint on him was fresh. He had done grabbed four of my forwardest pullets. I crope up nigh the door, and hollered and asked him how he was a-gittin' on, and then he broke. And as he broke, I jammed a gun into small of his back and banged loose. He let out a yell like 40 yaller cats a-courtin', and then he broke. You ain't seen no nigger hump himself like that nigger. He tore down the well shelter and four panels of fence, and the ground looked like one of these here hurricanes had lit there and fanned up the youth.
Why, I thought you killed him.
He bleeds to be dead, boss. Ain't I put the gun right on him? Seemed like I feel him give way when she went off.
Was the gun loaded?
That's what my old woman say. She had powder in there, sure. But I disremember whether I put the buckshot in, and whether I left him out. Leastways, I'm going to call on one of these here justices. So long, boss.
End of the saying.